The Garden of Gethsemane is a beautiful location in Israel, at the foot of the Mount of Olives, that's just east of the eastern gate of Jerusalem. Gethsemane itself means oil press. And if you visit that place in Israel, you can still see there today the olive groves, and you can visit a grove of ancient olive trees with gnarled, twisted trunks, with some of them estimated to be over 2,000 years old. It is a quite beautiful and inspiring place. In that very place, about 2,000 years ago, Jesus prayed fervently as he faced his soon approaching death on the cross. Jesus was exceedingly sorrowful, and he prayed to the Father, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." What did he mean by that phrase, "let this cup pass from me"? The cup was a metaphor of the suffering and horrible death he would soon face on the cross. Jesus asked the Father that there might be some way for him to avoid the cross. I explain this further and many other issues about how prayer works in my book, Why We Pray, Understanding Prayer in the Context of the Cosmic Conflict. Here, I want us to notice how Christ prayed to the Father. "Not as I will," he prayed, "but as you will." Again, he prayed, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." Notice those words, "your will be done," and not "my will, but yours be done." So what was his will? In one sense, Jesus wanted to avoid the cross. There was nothing wrong with this. But he wanted something else more, to save us, to save the world. Thus, Hebrews 12, verse 2 teaches that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What was that joy set before him? To redeem humanity, to save all who are willing to be saved. In one sense, he did not want to suffer or die. Yet he was willing to die for us, because it was the only way he could save us. This is why an ancient prophecy also says of the Father, "Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer and to make his life an offering for sin." How could this be the will of the Father? It was the Father's will only in the sense that it provided a way to save the world. The will of God, then, is quite a bit more complicated than we sometimes think. On one hand, God is perfectly good and righteous, good all the time and in every way. Scripture is crystal clear on that teaching. This means that God only wills what is good for everyone concerned. Yet there are also many bad things in our world, aren't there? This would seem to require that there are many things in our world that God does not will. Have you ever participated in a group project? If so, you know that the final product and the final outcome is not only up to you. It's based not only on you and your input, but also depends on the contributions of others. In a somewhat similar way, the state of this world is the result not only of what God does, but also the result of the impact of countless decisions of free creatures, including countless bad decisions. Now, there are some who think God causes everything to happen just the way he wants everything to happen. But Scripture tells a different story. There are many things that occur that God does not want to occur. In Isaiah 66, verse 4, God himself laments, "When I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I did not delight." Likewise, in Psalm 81, verses 11 through 13, God laments, "My people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways." God deeply wants his people to listen, but they stubbornly refuse. This is only possible if God grants creatures free will, even when they choose otherwise than he wants. But why would God grant such free will to creatures. Why? Because free will is necessary for love, and God is love. Because God actually consistently grants free will to do otherwise than he wants, and creatures frequently misuse that free will, many things occur that God does not want to occur. Yet one might ask, doesn't Scripture teach that God works all things according to the counsel of his will? Indeed it does. But here we must distinguish between what I call God's ideal will and God's remedial will. God's ideal will is what would occur if everything happened just as God ideally prefers. God's remedial will, on the other hand, is God's will after God has taken into account creatures' free decisions, including many bad ones. In other words, God's remedial will is God's will or God's plan to remedy the world's evils, which are the results of creatures' bad decisions. If everyone acted only in accordance with God's ideal will, there would be no evil. But tragically, humans and other creatures often choose to act contrary to God's love. Perhaps you're familiar with those cooking competitions on TV, in which some chefs are required to use some particular ingredients, but are free to also use any other ingredients they choose to make whatever meal they choose. The final dish they create includes many ingredients that the chef chose, but also some the chef did not choose. Somewhat similarly, God's remedial will takes into account creatures' free decisions. Many ingredients of history, then, are the results of creatures' decisions, including the bad ones. Alongside these, God makes his own decisions and acts to remedy all situations as much as possible without undermining free will, and with it, love. Consider the story of Joseph. His brothers sold him into slavery, but God worked miraculously to preserve Joseph and eventually for Joseph to rise to be powerful in the Egyptian government and to make and carry out plans to set aside huge amounts of food to preserve many people during a great famine. Now, Joseph's brothers selling him into slavery was an evil act. That was not caused by God. Scripture is clear that God does no evil. But to the evil decisions of Joseph's brothers, God added his own good actions to bring about the best good he could in the aftermath of this evil. Thus, Joseph declares to his brothers when they finally reunite, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive." God did not want any evil to occur. But when evil does occur, God works to counteract it and bring about good in the end. One day soon, he will eradicate evil forevermore. Then God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more sorrow. There shall be no more death, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. What then is his will for you now? Well, it's simple. He wants what is truly best for you, and that is for you to give yourself to him so that he can save you. Will you let him save you?